Sure. Good morning, everybody. My word. Yeah, what an amazing time. So true. It's like, do we even share after that? Huh? It's like when the meal is so good, you don't need a dessert. Not that this is the dessert. Let's hope. But maybe it will be fat free, low in calories. Totally low carbs, really good for you. The word, yeah. So I'm excited about this topic, and I want to speak about the favor of God. And the reason why I want to speak about the favor of God is there's a lot of miserable Christians out there. Not obviously not here, you know. And by miserable, it sounds like hectic. It's like, well, hold on, what do you mean? You know, when you meet someone and you struggle, and I'm talking about repeatedly, weeks or months, whatever, and there's no life. That very word that came out, it's just dead, or it's bitter, or it's negative, or it's life is hard, nothing is good, I'm struggling, I'm like, that train of thought and life and see everything through that lens, I'm like, Lord, that shouldn't be like that. When I read the word, that's not the promises that I see. That's not the life that is promised, you know, to us as believers. And I'm like, come on. And you know what? The reality is sometimes we all find ourselves there. There's seasons. You know, top of the mountain and it's glorious and we don't want to pitch a tent and we don't want to move from it. And then there's that valley of the shadow of death. You know, and it's the perfect place to die. And that's fine. I'm not talking about challenges, but I'm talking about a position where we find ourselves. It's like, yeah, I don't know, it's a cancer to the bone and we just feel like it's over. It's clouds done. Just get the municipality, put me down, let me just get out of here. You know, and I'm like, no, that devil is a liar. We're not going to listen to that thing. We're not going to, but let's come and let's look at what God says. Because if there's one thing that we know, that we know, that we know, the favor of the Lord, the favor of God is incredible. It is the favor that we want. It's the favor that we need. It's the favor we should desire. However, it is true. But if we look around us, if we just see what the world kind of gives us, what is on offer, it's kind of the part of the finance teaching. It's money, it's influence, you know, it's prosperity, it's I don't know, but a boatload of junk. And if you just go on social media, all these things, you know, look at individuals. What are the things that they are putting out? It's for influence, it's for acceptance, it's for likes, it's favor, it's for, there's very few, it's like a snippet, there are guys that just put out content and stuff that's for free, that's really going to help you. I'm talking maybe business, maybe it's practical stuff. But what is that? What is that in any case? So the favor, oh my word, I want to talk about that favor. I'm going to look at God's favor. We're going to look at the benefits of God's favor. We're going to look at a couple of types of favor that we can enjoy. And then we're going to walk in that. Is that cool? That's the breakdown. That's the overview. It's the highlight package right there. It is the favor. I like to just mix it up and say, what's your flavor? Huh? What's your flavor? Like, will someone taste and experience you? What? Is, oh my, what? You're like, what? What is that? Tripe, kidneys, liver. I don't know what you don't dig, but you know, that should not be. It should be pleasant. It should be sweet. It should be, oh my goodness, give me more of that. Like creme brulee, like a little. I'm clearly not eating carbs of sugar for the last 2 weeks. Hence the food analogies with sugar. But that's how it should be. Guys, if anybody would experience this, they'd be like, what's the difference about this guy? And this woman, well, it should be like that. It should be like that. And I know for many of us, it's been like that. Someone might have approached you and like, look, when I've been looking at your life, I've been listening to you and I've been observing you and I'm like, Ian, there's something different about you. Like, you don't do business like other people do business. There is something about the way that you operate. Like that, I'm dead serious. Like, what is that? You know, and we can go down the list. Yo, so that's why I'm excited, because I want to walk in the favor. I want that Holy Ghost sweet cinnamon flavor all over me. And we should have it, each one of us. Cool. And we're going to break down some lies. So, first things first. It's not the favor of man that counts. That is the worst kind of favor that you could want. And yet that's what the whole world tries to do. I want to want favor with everybody and everything around me. Work, relationships, friends, family, cliques, clubs, even church, etc., etc. It happens. But check this out. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing or favor of the Lord makes one rich without adding any sorrow. I love that verse. I love that verse. Now, this verse could also be a blessing or a curse. If we read it in the right context, man, this is a blessing. Guys, this is clear. What can we do to get rich? And I'm not talking financial rich. It might include riches, but please, the one thing I want for us this morning, financial blessing, gain, riches, blah, blah, remove this from this whole conversation this morning. I am not talking about that, because there's prosperity gospel that all that needs is money that leads to the pit of hell. I'm sorry. Jesus said it is impossible to serve me, God, and mammon. We serve one God. And he owns the cows and the cattle on a thousand hills, all the gold, all the silver. Haggai 2:8 says, belongs to me, says the Lord. God needs nothing. So why on planet Earth would he want us to gain everything? Are we going to help build the golden streets in heaven? No, he's doing that. We don't have to take gold and silver with. So please, well, I'm just being like, this is not a prosperity thing. But what I'm saying is, there is a blessing that comes from God that maketh rich. And your labor, the quantity of work, can't do anything about it. You can't work harder to get it. You can't work more to get that. We can't. It is a knowing, like, wow, there is a favor from God that produces that. For me, that is comforting. It's like, oh my, I can be faithful with what I have and what he put in it. I can put the seed in the ground, and that thing can become an orchard with massive harvest. I don't know, that's up to him. But I love it when it's him. The thing is this, we can go about God's favor incorrectly. And let me just say this, unfortunately a spoiler, but somehow we think we can earn it. Somehow we think we can work for it. And I know we agree, like, yeah, amen, I agree with that thing. But lo and behold, I don't want to go to church this morning. Sorry, I mean, that is an example. I've been there. I've helped them. So you know what? I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be miserable. I actually don't want to be there. It's like going to work. This place sucks. But I'm going to go because I want the money. I don't need the money. As opposed to, I'm going to go to work. Not for my boss, not for the conditions at work. The Bible says, do everything as if unto the Lord. So I'm going to go to work for the Lord. Like, what is the work environment going to do with me if that is my focus? But similarly here, so what I'm saying is these truths, we can try and apply it incorrect. Oh, I must do more of this so I can get this. It's not that. But let's go to Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor brings life. Weeping may come for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is often also why people pursue God. They think, previous verse, it's going to be blessing or riches. Because who doesn't want that? Momentary anger. I don't want God to be, you know, upset with me for a long time. Quick. And then he gives me favor. And he gives me joy. And it's amazing. And that's what I want. We can have it. But maybe in a different way. Proverbs 16:7, it says, when man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh, peace. I want peace. My neighbors, my neighborhood. I mean, look, I want peace, man. I don't want strife. Who likes strife? Some people like strife. Some people do. I don't know. It's like a national sport. You're going to go to the Olympics for strife. I'll show you. You're ready for me for Delhi. I don't know. It's like there's no virtue in that. But we pursue God because, hey, you know, I want peace. I want peace. But here's the clincher for us this morning. And this is, so, guys, this is so like a, this is so incredible. I hope we all hear this. Man, you know, because there's a thing called the unmerited favor of God. This is a favor you cannot buy, you cannot earn. He gives. So this is where we have to start. The foundation upon which we build to live and run and have and experience the favor of God is the fact that, one, it is free. It's unmerited. No merits. Nothing. Okay. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. It says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so no man can boast. What does it benefit man that he gains the whole world but then loses his life?" I know everybody here would agree. Yes. Would you like life or $1 billion that you're going to have for 5 minutes? So there isn't enough time to take a lot, you know, online or anything. Exactly. That's what this life is ultimately. It's a blink of an eye, then it's gone. However, we trade these things for what, you know, will last for eternity, which is this gift that God makes available to all men of all times, everywhere. This gift available for everybody. Because we might think God has got favorites. We'll get there now. But this gift is for all men. Guys, how beautiful is this? He is not partial. Let me just see if that's... I might have taken that out. But it says God is not partial. He cannot be bribed. That's the same for everything. This favor is accessible to every single person. There's no favoritism here. It's unmerited. And the best gift we can ever have. I think probably every single Sunday we have covered that. Because that is what it's all about. That there will be an eternal destiny for us. And it's a free gift that we can. So if you have not accepted this gift, I promise you now, you might think, not me. If you don't know, love, follow Jesus, and he's forgiven your sin, and he's made you right with God, and your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have no idea where you're going to spend eternity, this is for you. The Bible says he's right now, he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. If you open up, he will come. He will come. He will not reject you. That's your response. But you must understand, that's the Son of God that came for one purpose, to die for a sin that is separating you from God. Remove the sin through the blood of Jesus by receiving the gift once you repent and just say, "Yes, Lord, I want." That's how you get saved. And now you start walking that walk. But let's assume for a moment we're all there. Okay, we have this unmerited favor. There are benefits to this. The first one is the eternal life we just spoke about. That's John 3:16. Okay, eternal life. If you don't know that, when you die, statistically we all do. One out of one die. Okay? Bar one or two characters in the Bible. This is where we're going to go. It's eternal life. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We're destined to die once. And man, we're going to spend life with him forever. The second benefit, now please remember, this is a benefit. It is given freely. It comes with it. It's the package deal. It comes from God. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's the forgiveness. It's the reconciliation. It's the, wow, I was guilty. Now I'm free. It is amazing. Because here we are, still in this body of flesh. We still have the scars of sin that we, you know, previously might still be there, or still maybe there's stuff we're still working through because of these decisions. But when the judge makes you free, you are free indeed. No one else can keep you guilty. Look, the enemy will try, and he might try and deceive you. And in that process, he deceives and he robs you, and with the intention just to kill you around the corner. Okay, So forgiveness and reconciliation is what we get. How beautiful is that? Let the enemy not steal these truths. These benefits is for the people of God. Next one. There's a peace. Oh, my word. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Guys, this personally, for me, when there's anything in my life that is stressing or stressful, that's causing anxiety, sleepless nights, etc., there's only one scripture, me personally, and if we've ever chatted about circumstances, I more than likely have pointed you to this verse. The anti-anxiety pill that you can swallow. Okay. Peace with God. Oh my goodness. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Think about that picture in your mind for a moment. Stuff that you want to be anxious about? Okay, that's a thing. He says everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make those requests known to God. We're not to be gone to God with our problems, rejoicing. Can you imagine? It's like Robin Hood, Men in Tights, years ago, that movie. Remember that? Where the king is like, whoa, hold on, bring me. He's had enough bad news. I can't handle more. You bring me that bad news, but give it to me in a good way. Have you seen? Does the reference hit somewhere? Okay, cool. It is super funny. And this guy starts sharing with the king the most horrific news, but laughing and joking. And eventually the king is like, what is wrong with you? That is terrible. Anyway, what I'm saying, God is inviting us. He said, bring the stuff with thanksgiving, with prayer. I'm just go in worship. That doesn't have to stop there. But you know what the result will be when we really go to God with our stuff? There's a peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding. You cannot understand it. You won't understand it until you take it in that way. It will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who doesn't want that? Please. This is a benefit that comes from God's favor and kindness he bestows on all people. But why won't we use this? Why won't we partake or participate? Why don't we receive this? Go to the Lord first, man. You've got stuff. I understand that. And we are here to carry those loads with one another. True. Amen to that. But if we can't go to God first, we have to. Is he not the one that promises this, that gives this? Gosh, yes, we'll miss it. We can go around the mountain 500 times and we can go 500 more. Okay. Let's not. We can do. And I'm not trying to make light of your circumstance. I'm trying to put a light on who our incredible God is. Yes, is there anything too big? Another benefit, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Sorry. Let me ask you this question. Do you know everything there is to know? Cool. Thank you for the honesty. Let's go one deeper. Sounds like an American. Let's go one deeper. Do you know half of everything there is to know? Come on, certainly. Some of the wives, maybe? No? Sorry. Okay, so you don't know half of everything. So you might be holding on to something that you know. But in the other half of all the stuff that you don't know, maybe there's something that contradicts that thing. Or that's very different to that thing. Could that be true? It's like, where's he going with this? What I'm saying is, when you go through life and you do not understand, I don't deserve this, but what about that? Shush. Before God, shush. That's what I'm saying. And know that in all things, what does he do for his kids? He works it for what? For the good. Now what? How miserable must I be now? I mean, is he a good God? Absolutely. Does he love me? Is he bestowing his favor without any merit, nothing on me? Absolutely. So if everything will work together for the good, even though it sucks right now, will it be good later, eventually? Absolutely. So come on. That's why I said miserable questions like, hello, Romans 8:28. Perhaps we must go back. Do you really have a relationship with God? Or are you still trying to earn your way into salvation or something? Because that's wrong. You'll never get there. You've lost the fight before you even walk into the ring. We have to build upon the rock and the truth. So purpose and direction. All of a sudden, it's like, man, of course, everybody wants to eat corn and everything with corn syrup in it. But there's a farm, with a farm. We had to work the field and it's a lot of hard work. But you know what? It's for the harvest that comes. So the hard stuff that you go through, perhaps, maybe, is because there's a great harvest coming, even in your life, because you're going to look more like him. He's producing character in you. Sure. I'm just encouraging myself here. This is amazing. Here's another benefit of God's unmerited favor. Philippians 4:13. Now, please, we also have to see this in context. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So, please, we need to go to the reference. But there's a power that he gives to overcome. This is related to finances and, you know, not having enough and all of those things. But he gives us strength. He should be the source of our strength. Not ChatGPT, Wikipedia, or all those things. Like, seriously, do we draw on him? He's the power. He is the power. He doesn't just give power. The Holy Spirit is the dynamos. Opwekker. The generator. There we go, thank you. Generator. He's the power source, guys. That's why we fall flat eventually. We crash and burn. Because I'm running this race on nothing but water. I don't do races, but I CrossFit a little bit. Okay. I promise you, if I just have water and you do a strenuous workout like that, you feel terrible. I mean, you have nothing. You're like, it is difficult doing a workout, but you just eat a little banana. How crazy is that? Just a little banana, half an hour before you go gym. Puh. I'm like, you know, where's my sponsors? Guys, we have been sponsored. I almost said Red Bull. It's God's favor. You know what I mean? Let's not run out of energy or the will to continue. Let's rather just run back and plug into the source. Make sure we don't unplug. This is good, because he does give power. Last benefit I want to touch on. Romans 8:31 to 32. This is, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son. And then he just kind of backs, like, hey, he says, okay, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Meaning he's already given everything. Why would he all of a sudden, he backed himself with his decision by giving his son's life. Why would he all of a sudden now withhold everything? I mean, that makes no sense. Somehow we believe that. Isn't this cool? The confidence and the joy that God is for us. Guys, he is for us. He's not against us. He even rebuked the disciples when he didn't want the children to come to him. He's like, whoa. And he rebuked them. That word is like, it was like, please let them come. No. It's like, what are you doing? These kids, to such as these, the kingdom belong. It's almost like he was fighting for them to come. It's like, whoa, hello. Let us not stiff arm ourselves, disqualify ourselves. Because remember, these benefits come from the favor that he bestowed on us. I mean, I saw Phil and little Gracie. Where are they now? I don't know. In front of worship. I'm like, such a beautiful little thing that yesterday. I wonder how much work she does on a daily basis just to keep a good, solid relationship with Phil and Nats. Do you want to just lift Gracie up? Just quickly have a look. I just want to look at that. Oh, my word. That is beautiful. A little Gracie Full, thank you. But I don't know about you, but I could see that she does a lot of hard work, eh? Like the Ilte op haar hande, you know, from all the gardening, and she probably does car services. And I don't know. I don't think they do Checkers 60-60. Probably get carries the shopping bags all the way from, you know, Checkers to their house. And there must be a lot of things that she does. It's ridiculous. Like, she does full nappies. That she does well. You know? And that's what we do, guys. If we boast, what do we boast in? Paul says, in Jesus. But if I do want to boast on myself, I will, because my stuff is like dung. Literally. That's what I produce, dung. Boop. Nappies. Okay? But that's what you do as a kid. Like, I've got two boys, like both of them did that. And apparently my mom said I did the same. I'm going to take a wild guess and say, maybe you too. Yeah? Yeah? So if that is what little kids bring to the party, why do we act like we are the party? You know? Guys, come on, man. I think we think too lofty to harm ourselves. We don't have to earn it. He saved us. He came to us. Isn't this so freeing, guys? Yo, man. Huh? And then just the joy that comes from that place. And the confidence. I know who my dad is. I mean, look, I might suck, but if you've seen him, if you've met him, life will be changed. You will never be the same. Huh? Sure. Now, the thing is, how do we respond? How do we respond to this favor of our God? Because remember, we cannot earn it. But man, there's a response. How does she respond? How do you respond? How do I respond to all of this? Because man, so much of this I forget. And then I'm miserable. And I pity myself and life and all of these things. And, like, and every now and again, I come back to the point like, oh, hold on. Let me go to Jesus. I've lost it. But the right response, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. Isn't that beautiful? So it's not a prize to be earned. The gift motivates a response of love and obedience. Isn't that amazing? It motivates when we experience all of this undeserved favor and blessing. He even comes in that, and he helps us. Not only that, it's like it says there, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according. So when we start doing good, when we start loving, when we start pouring out, when we start giving, man, even in that, we can't take credit. Like, no, it's him. It's him who does that. So when we see others do it, yeah, I'm not like him. I'm not like a, thank heavens you're not. But we can get with Jesus, and these can be the responses that come from a life that's been changed. And it comes through in our will, it comes through in our actions. So, I'm going to quickly run through a couple of types of favor that we can enjoy. And again, I need to just say this. These are not the same. These are the result. The things I'm going to mention now is the result of his grace transforming us. Okay? This is not a way to gain favor, but it's favor that comes as a result. One is favor with God. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Huh? Isn't that lekker? So live a life of love and faithfulness. But you know what? There's a favor that we will, but just by the love, just in the way we respond to his goodness and kindness, the effect that it will have, not because we're working for it, the effect would be there's going to be favor with man. Things are going to, I don't know, just benefits are going to pop out even from this area. The problem is when we seek these benefits and therefore now we do, and that's how we can build for very long and be unsatisfied, dissatisfied, miserable. Second thing is Isaiah 66:2. So it's not the second, it's still part of the first type of benefit, which is with God. It says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Yo. What draws the favor of God? It's right there. Humble. Contrast, like a broken spirit, nothing myself that I can, I don't have anything. And tremble at my word. Do we tremble? Do we take his word serious? Is the word, the Bible that you read, the word of God, do we treat it like that? Or is it just, Psalm 23, okay, know that one, no. Because we can. As Christians, we can get a little blasé about this. You know, kind of used to, we know how, what it looks like. And guys, what attracts the favor of God. Isn't this beautiful? Let's get back to the truth. Let's start reading his word. Like it is the power of God. Cool. Second one. There's only a few of them, I think five. The second thing we benefit from is the favor of man. Acts 2:46-47. We've read this. I'm just going to, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. To me, it's almost like, yes, when you live in this kind of way, when you respond to God's goodness and graces and his kindnesses in the right way, people around you, man, their lives are going to be better, actually. And there's going to be a favor that just comes forth, that flows to you. Favor of all the people, not just in here, elsewhere. Cool. Esther 2:15-7. So this is favor with man. And then Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. There was something beautiful about her. She was a woman of God. These are just some of the verses in the Word. It just shows us the favor that is embedded in the Christian's life. Favor with man, but also for provision and for wisdom. Exodus 12:30. I'm just going to run through these just to so you can see we are talking Bible here. This is in the Word of God. Exodus 12:36. It says, the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. This is before they left. There's nothing the Israelites could have done to get all the silver and the gold and the stuff. God arranged it, organized it. It came from him. So he provides. Guys, we do not have a whole nation leaving Egypt to go through the desert. It's like, what? Any one of us, if I tell you, hey, me and you, let's go. We're not going to take anything, but we're going to go through a desert for 40 years. You're going to say, forget about it, man. You're crazy. But God, right? You see, let's not ever neglect or forget his provision. No one can do better. Daniel 1:9-17, it says, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. As for these four youths, God gave them the knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So I read Daniel. I love Daniel. And often I think it's Daniel that was so clever and cute and, yes, man. But you know why? Let us be reminded. God gave them knowledge and intelligence. I want it. I hope you want knowledge. There's a wisdom. But God gives it. Let us pursue that. Okay, remember, this is not as a reward. All of these benefits is an expression of his love at the end of the day. And the last one might be an interesting one. We get favor with authority figures. Nehemiah 2:8. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. Now this is the wine bearer next to the king who heard that the walls of Jerusalem, the temple and everything has been desolate, and it saddened him. The king saw his face. Like, what's wrong with you? He's like, how can I be happy if my God and my king's, the Israel is in ruins, etc., etc. And he said, but what do you need? I love the story of Nehemiah. He says, well, it was just super sad. And the king said, you know what? I'm going to give you everything that you need. But it's God who moved the king's heart. Huh? And how Nehemiah interpreted it, says, man, because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. Not the king that was so, it was God behind it all. So we can trust his plan, man. We can trust it. Oh. And then the last one there, Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Huh? Another one of my favorites. I've got a couple of favorites. But man, Joseph, because he was a big dreamer and talker. And he got a lot of things for his trouble, but it was all part of God's plan. So guys, we can obey and serve faithfully, even if it looks like, oh my word, this is not a plan I have for my life. God showed me a dream. You guys are going to bow before me, man. I'm like, it's important. You don't think so now because I'm the youngest, but I'm like pretty, you know. And then the whole journey that he went on. But God, and God set this all up. And God was with him, and he gave him favor. Because remember, Joseph stayed faithful in all of these things. He didn't let the circumstances perturb him or throw him off course. Did he know exactly what was happening? I don't think so. Because God only revealed much later. And he could say, you know, that because of where he was and what he went through and what he endured, God made a way for the nation of Israel to survive through those droughts, through what was coming. That's incredible. Through him, a whole nation was saved. And it's through that very nation that our King and our Savior came.